Simakuf Samazayin, we did Sif Aleph, we're going to do the Mishnah Berurah and Sif Aleph. Sif cut an Aleph. So, but Seba passes, he cuts into the bread. Hanalacha, Shinotha Yodav Lechilo, wrote to the Baruch Alechem Alecho. See, he washes his hands. We finish Hilchas and Tiel Sudayim. His hands are duly clean. Now he wants to take a bracha on the Alechem Alecho. So, but Seba Lechweid HaBracha, but Makam Shenefa Hetev. So, the covenant of bracha is to make the bracha on the part of the bread which is baked well. That's considered that's really what's the better food. The hanam makam hakasha, b'loy makam harach ben b'tiyosay. That's the harder crust as opposed to the inner side, inner part. Okay. We pass didan. I am a grosh b'fak v'galoshen didan. So what Shulchan Aruch is going to say, there's two opinions. Is it from the upper crust or the bottom crust? So the solution is take from the side and get a little bit of both. So that could be true in the dinner of the case of the Gemara as well. Right? We have Makhloik as whether it should be the part which is touches the Tanner, which is the upper crust, the part which is facing the oven, which is the lower crust, so the solution is take from the side and get both. So why are we saying that this is only true by our bread? This will also be true with the bread of the Gemara. So that's what the Bira Gros issue. So the Bira Locha does grapple with this. He says that we could actually. There's a sheet that says over there you can choose which one you want. Over here, that's not you can choose which one you want. The argument being choose which one because they bet them then that they both bake equally. But rather, what we're going to do is we're going to say that you should have to do from both. So really, there are four options: top, bottom, either, or both. Right. So we're doing both. Now the Gemara, there's an option of doing either. Okay. But set a pass.
So what? Either that means you have to be consistent from time to time.
No. It means you can change from time to time. Set a pass. Okay. Gemara Isa. Let's see the next Mr. Let's see the next Mr. Brew. I think it'll help. The Gemara Isa Lachad Girsa. There's one version of the Gemara. Should say we welcome to Maskula Pass Likrem Ulhis Basha. So you're supposed to cut from the place where it starts to create its crust and to bake, and that is the proper place to cut from. The fascinating Gemara. The Gemara actually says it in the context of that Rav Ashi was giving shir in the sugyas of Perech Chelik, and he says at the end of the shir, he said, "Tomorrow we're going to give shir about our chaver Menashe Melech Yisrael, who doesn't have a chelik olam haba." Good.
Or hover.
So that night, Menashe comes to him in a dream. He says, "You call me your hover? Do you know where you're supposed to cut the bread from when you make the bracha b'moitzi?" He says, "No, I don't know." He says, "If you're calling me, how can you call me hover if you don't know what simple halacha that I do know?" So he says, "So tell me, and I'll say it over to you in your name and base matters tomorrow." So he told him he's supposed to cut from Malkam Shemaskal Hisbashel, where the place where it starts to bake. So he says, "If you're such a Talmud Chacham, so how come you did Avodah Zarah?" That's the famous Gemara. He says, "If you would have been there, you picked up your robes to get there before me. You don't understand the Yetzer Hara for it." The next day, he came and he said, "We're going to give a shir about our Rebbe Menashe, who didn't have a Chet Kol Mahaba." Okay.
Why
is the dream believed? How do you know there's really?
Which part do you understand? You don't believe.
Why did he believe Menashe?
Because
he's the Rosha.
First of all, Chazal said the truth, but even he's not going to come in a chaloyim and say someone's a sheker.
But how do you know it's really Menashe? Maybe it's a shade.
So the Tzaddik says that a person is machmir to only ever always say emes when that his chalomis will be guaranteed to be emes. So I imagine Rav Ashi probably would go into that category. Okay. V'yesh me'posikim d'sfir lehu, So what does that Gemara mean? The Gemara says the place where it starts to create the crust and to bake. So some person say it means it's the part facing. Now this is not the tanner of a chazal. This is our ovens. So they would put it on the floor of the oven, and then so the bottom is on the floor, and the top is facing out to the open air space of the oven. Neged avra taner, it's facing out to the open air space of the taner. Yesharim shetzad atachton mispashal tchila shemunach al karkiyas taner. So therefore, the solution is so the solution is to cut from the side, which allows you to take a piece equally at the same time from the top and the bottom. So sometimes, you know, we see that the bread sort of like bursts, the crust, instead of being, as it expands, it sort of like makes this part which sticks out a little bit, it bursts out. So the assumption is that the tzad which starts to bake is actually the other side of that. So since that starts to bake first, the other side, which is casting up, is expanding still, and that's why that other side is the one which bursts out. Okay. Reprusa yochel lipsoya b'mokam shenifres vein tzarach lipsoya b'mokam hasholim. If you're starting with a piece of a loaf, and you, so the question, do you want to take from the cut side, you want to take from the sholim side, so I don't have to go to the end, take from the shalom, I can take from the cut side. But Rashi Tzarech Lachtuch Mitzad Al Yin Batachtum, you still have to cut from the side. They give you from the top and the bottom as well. Hecha Shenisar V'kikr B'mokam Echad Shenidu B'Ofer Ayin Lachtuch B'mokam Hula B'Rechaz Amoytzi. But if something burnt, that's not covered a bracha to take the part which is burnt. It should be well baked, but not burnt. Or something that gets stuck onto the floor of the tanner and has dirt on it and stuff like that. So again, it's not kavod bracha to use that part. Okay, so you take the brusas of betzia. Now, what does it mean? Hi, betzarach with pierce the masha kosa betchila b'yatah b'irinyinhu. So let's explain what we're trying to do. So cutting down the midinim of varach hakach pareis hakikar. The order should be you make a bracha and then you cut. Today shitiya kol a bracha apashleim. You want the bracha to be on a sholem. Should there cover the bracha? That's a cover to the bracha that you're saying a bracha on a full loaf. Akadeshal yeh shihu yirav ben a bracha lechila. V'yerev kafsaka. You don't want it to be a long pause between the bracha and the eating, which would then function as an interruption or like an interruption. Because suppose in the toy b'chadchila shiachtu ma'at b'kikar kadim shemaschal a bracha. So you should start cutting into the loaf before you make the bracha. But it should only be a smaller cut, because if you cut too much, it's not a sholem anymore. But cut enough that you're saving some time. You already have the knife there. You already have the place where you're supposed to cut already started. So then you'll make the bracha, and then you'll finish the process of separating that piece off. So you cut ma'at. Now, Philip Prusel Yatuk, the Gamma Kana Bracha Keshi, and Nira Yersin Gadela. So the Mishabura, I understand when you're talking about a loaf, if you cut too far into the loaf, it's not considered a sholem anymore. Let's say I have a half loaf left over from last night. I'm not eating the whole half loaf, or I'm eating the whole half loaf right now. So over there, I could argue just cut a whole piece off and make the bracha on the piece. No, it's more covered to make a bracha on a larger piece. See, even in the case where you're starting with a lechem, which already has been cut, you should still leave it. The piece that you're going to be eating should still be attached to the larger unit before you make the while you're making the bracha. So we say, you know what? Cut only so much that it should not be considered separated. Otherwise, it's not a sholem anymore. Shim lo kein is considered a prusa. So what's the definition? If you hold the smaller part and the larger part is attached enough that the larger part will stay attached and not fall off, so then this is still considered a sholet. If you cut so deep that when you hold the smaller part, the larger part, due to the weight and the lack of the smaller, only there's only a little attachment, it'll fall off. So it's not a sholem anymore. If you cut so deep into the loaf that when you hold the smaller part, the part which you're cutting off from the loaf, if you hold that part, the kikr will not stay attached, it'll fall off. It'll break into two pieces. It's considered already, it's considered you reached the point that's no longer attached. Well, I'll hold the smaller part and the larger part will fall off. But if I hold the larger part, the smaller part won't fall off. That doesn't help me. The fact that if you hold the larger part, the smaller part stays attached is not sufficient. What you need to figure out is if you hold the smaller part, if the larger part will stay attached. So let's say something if you're trying to figure out you have a sholem by matzahs. So you take your nice round hand matzah and there's a crack in it. So you hold the smaller part, and if the larger part stays attached, it's a sholem. If it falls off, it's not a sholem anymore. Right? So, you didn't lose anything, because it wasn't a sholem anyway, so.
Well, if you wouldn't have cut it at all, or cut just a tiny little thing of it, it would have still been a sholem, right?
That's what we're saying over here. The point over here is you cut, don't cut too far.
You don't cut too deeply.
Yeah. Believe it attached. You cut it, but not to the point that it's detached. The point that it's still attached.
What is the? I mean, aside from marking it, saying, "Okay, this is where I'm going to make my slice." What does the cut accomplish? What is there any reason why you really need to cut deeply at all?
Yes, because you're saving time after this. So you're limiting the time lapse between the bracha and the eating. That's our goal.
What by a split second, maybe. I can't imagine how much time are you really saving? I mean, it's probably measured in microseconds.
Okay, so you see how important interruptions shouldn't, how much you should minimize interruptions. Katana, okay, so you shouldn't cut a piece which is katana mikazayas, less than a kazayas. So the TP shouldn't be too small because then you look like you're a cheapskate. So the problem over here is this large piece is only if this is what you're going to. This is going to be your piece. Now, our aim because that masha person chaticha gedolah meakikur, v'hachaytich min oisa prusa gufa chaticha lamoitzi. Mizelo mechzik korapsin uzso. You see, the problem is you look like a glutton. So if you take a large loaf, you cut off a smaller piece, which is less than half, and then from that piece you cut multiple slices. That's not a problem. The problem is if you cut a large chunk to use for yourself to eat, that's where we're saying that's problematic. Now, he said on Shabbos, you should not cut it at all. We want you to say, there you must have, during the week, a shalim is a milo. But on Shabbos, it's more than a mile. It's a requirement. You must have lechem mishnah, which requires a lechem, which is a sholet. So on Shabbos, we don't want you to get involved in potentially by mistake cutting too far. So you say, you know what? Don't cut. Either you might cut all the way through. You cut deep enough. When you hold the smaller part, the larger part will fall off. Which havi kiporus l'gamri. It's like it's already detached. So on Shabbos, because of this issue, so a person shouldn't cut in. So now, the Mishnah Berurah does say later on in Hilchos Shabbos that we do make a mark. Again, the purpose of the mark is because we're looking to see where is the part which is baked well, and that's the part you're supposed to be cutting off to eat for the bracha. So to minimize the time lapse, you want to calculate when that is before, you should look over the bread and decide where that is before the bracha. And, well, we're afraid you're going to still, you're not going to remember where you put it, where it was. So the answer is make a mark. So that's the purpose of the mark on Shabbos. If on Shabbos you're not cutting in beforehand, you're lengthening the time lapse. But since we don't have another option, this is the proper way to do it on Shabbos. It's not considered an interruption. But on the weekday, we have a better solution. So why should we do the better solution? I'll tell you something. 1 second. I just want to point out. So the mashal. So this is only on Shabbos and Yom Tov. But let's say the mashal. You know, a person eats a surah Chol HaMoed. A person eats an Erev Yom Kippur. When you're sitting down to a Shabbos like a meal, and you're using challah maybe, etc. But it's not Shabbos or Yom Tov. So you would cut beforehand. Okay. Now he says on Shabbos. If you should not cut in, but if you do cut in, the similar type of a cutting which we are allowing you to do on the weekday, so it's not really considered detached because you only cut in minimally, not to the point where holding the smaller side, the larger side would fall off, because that's still considered attached. Eno mazik. Ratzalamer, shall hip shall yidzei alecha mishnah, shakol sh'urchas beprusa v'shara kikar olim or yabi kisholim. You didn't lose your lecha mishnah because as long as you didn't cut it so deep, and when you hold the smaller piece, the larger piece will remain attached. It's considered a sholem. So we don't recommend you to do that. But if you did that, it's not going to make you that you can't use this bread for lecha mishnah. Okay. Then we said that which we said we should limit the size of the piece. That's during the weekdays and when you're eating for yourself. Abba b'Shabbos. So the mishum Shabbos always the laharpas besuda. So on the weekdays, the guy is overeating. And Shabbos, part of Suda Shabbos is that you enjoy yourself. So you want to have a larger piece, fine, no problem. Now we're not recommending that you pick that piece in your hand and bite from it. That's a discussion later on. But the issue, the point is just the idea of taking such a large piece looks like you're a glutton. And Shabbos, that's okay. It looks like you're doing it in the cover of the Suda. Even on the weekday, if you have multiple mesubim, which you're going to be cutting pieces of the moitzi from them, from this piece, to cut a larger piece. So mina prusa. Okay. So now, so what? So I have to give to each person from this piece. So I have a loaf. I cut off a piece. We refer to that piece as the prusa. It was the part which was detached. It was porus. It was separated from the loaf.
The main loaf.
Then I cut that into pieces and I give to each one of the people present. When I'm giving mitzvah to other people, the mitzvah, the chiyuv of eating of hamotzi, saying hamotzi and eating it, so the proper thing to do is to cut off a piece from the loaf, and then from that loaf, give everybody kazayis. So if you have 3, 4, or 5 people, that's doable. You know, you have 15 people there, you don't really have an option. You have to use the whole loaf. But in a case where you have a smaller group, the goal is to cut a piece originally, and from that piece that you've taken off, that's the piece which you've been betzeyant, you know, taken for the mitzvah, the achila, and then you give each person part of that. That's the idea. We have a large crowd. One person be mitzvah, but else she yachtech b'tzias hamotzi kol kachadarla. She asked for the chalak mimenu hamotzi lekol mesubim. So the solution is to cut a larger initial piece to make sure you have enough to give every individual from that piece. Again, you know, depending how large your loaf would be, you might get a limit at some point in time, it's not possible. So you're supposed to give from the prusa the cholecha each person kazayas. If you give less than kazayas, it looks like you're cheap. You can give a little bit smaller kazayas as well, but not a little, you know, little peck. V'lav ha'itayim agam kein toiv hu lechadkil sheyecho odom kazayah space berchaz ha'moitzi. Now, so even though the key of saying a bracha ha'moitzi is unless in a kazayas, so but above and beyond the idea that you balabai shouldn't look cheap, but each person should be eating a kazayas. Now, you have to eat a kazayas to bench. You have to eat a kazayas to sail until you die. So obviously you have to eat a kazayas. But you know, he'll eat a kazayas later on in the meal. No, it's preferred the chachila. Some say when you say the moitzi, you should make sure you eat a kazayas right away. So you have to give the person a kazayas to do that. Now, why is that? So there is a Dagger Mavava. There's another Behuda, a sefer on Shulchan Aruch called Dagger Mavava. He says that really a person should not talk. The chachila person should not talk until he finishes his first kazayas. This way, you know for sure that you had a kazayas b'dechilas pras, because you can't bench unless you eat a, not only it's not enough to eat a kazayas. You have to eat a kazayas within a certain time span. So a person starts off the meal with a piece of bread which is a kazayas or slightly larger. He eats a little bit at the beginning, a little bit half an hour later in the middle of the meal, a little bit half an hour later at the end of the meal. He never ate a kazayas b'dechilas pras. Then he takes it a step further and says that halacha. We'll see later on. We know that the halacha is when you say a moitzi, you don't make any other brachas, or you know, you most things during the meal do not make a bracha b'shan on them. The logic behind that is because everything else is considered secondary to the bread. So Nadi Behuda says that's only true if you had a kazayas of bread. Kazayas of bread is a chashav amount of bread, so everything else is secondary to the bread. So if you didn't have a kazayas of bread yet, well, let's say you have like some schools, they have a policy, all the kids have to wash for lunch. Everybody has to wash for lunch. Good. So some kids, that's very nice, they wash for lunch, they eat what they call a poke. They stick their finger in through, they take a little piece of bread in the middle, and that's all they eat. So that does not potter anything, they can't bench on that, but besides that, they need to say a bracha rishona on all of their food. They don't need a kazayas. The other items are not tuffle to the bread. You'd have to make a bracha rishona on your drink, and a bracha rishona on your fish or whatever else you're eating. You'd have to make a bracha on that, because it's not tuffle to the bread in that situation. So he says, not only is that true if collectively during the meal you had a kazayas, but it's only true if at the beginning of the meal you were kaveh your suit on a kazayas of bread, then everything else is tuffle to the bread. That's what he's machadish, which is quite a chiddush. But he's bringing, you know, it would be preferable not, you know, to do such a thing if possible. Okay. Sif beis. In order to make the bracha hamatzilechem in oritz, Mr. Burrow will give some pointers in the correct language of the bracha. V'rabim mesubim yichav l'libram lishmoy habracha v'yano amen. They should make sure they listen to the bracha, make sure that they answer amen. V'hamavarech yichav l'amen sh'amrim. And Chazal say that not only does the amen go for the listeners, the Omen goes for the Mavorach also. How does he get the schus of the Omen? By listening to the Omen, he's accepting the Omen through his Shemei Ka'ayna. So it's like he said Omen as well. He gets the schus of Omen. Yitin Rebach bein Lechem ubein Min, since the word Lechem ends with a Mem, and the word Min starts with a Mem. So if you're not careful, it sounds like Lechem Min Lechem Oritz. Lechem Min. So the lechem in oritz, ha'oritz. So it's one word, lechem min, in. So you want to say lechem min. Mishabura, sivkotan, tezayin, ha'moitzi. Behei karam amem, so you have to say ha'moitzi. V'imberach moitzi is yotza. So that's mechalak to the more what the proper bracha is. And we come out, the more says that b'di evad, moitzi works, but it's preferable to say ha'moitzi. So they want to be yotzeh with him. They have to make sure that they're listening. And by making sure that they're focusing and listening to what he's saying, there's a concept called Shemaya Ka'ina. Then you also add on, besides the listening to the bracha, it's like I said the bracha, but I said amen. So I'm saying whatever you said is true. So he says 2 points over here. If a person was listening to be Yotze Bracha, he did not answer Amen, he's still Yotze. As long as he listened to the Bracha, he has a mitzvah to say Amen. He didn't say Amen, so he didn't do the mitzvah. He also lose the Bracha because of that. That's the second point. The first point that he says, by saying answering Amen, it's equivalent to saying the Bracha yourself, which means that even though there's a council called Shemei Ka'ina, by listening is equivalent to I'm saying it, there's still actually a halachic advantage in my love saying it yourself. It's better to do it yourself than to have somebody else, but you do Shemei Ka'ina. Zuck comes along, the Prima Gadam says, but that's if you don't answer Amen. But by saying Amen, that you're actively participating and saying whatever you said, I believe is true. That therefore it gives you now that there's a halachic equivalence whether you're listening in with an Amen or actually verbalizing and saying the bracha, they're totally equal. Right. So the Marshal, the Prima Gadam says, so let's say a person is 100 brachas, if they say 100 brachas every day. So during weekdays, it's very, you know, very rarely it's a problem. Even fast days, very rarely it's a problem. Shabbos and Yom Tov is when you get involved in the problem. Yom Kippur is the biggest challenge because you have no Yom Tov meal at all. So you just have the davening, and the Mishmar makes a calculation. Even after you like add in this and that other thing, you're still short many brachas. So he says the solution is, from what he says, listen to the people which are getting aliyahs. Listen to what they're saying and say Amen. And then it's if you said the bracha yourself, and then that'll count to your mea brachas. I mean, Shemei Karna without the Amen would not give you the equivalent of your saying yourself and count for your 100 brachas. In conjunction with the fact that you answered Amen, then that gives you the halachic equivalent if you said it yourself, mamish, then you can count it towards your mea brachas. So he says, after you calculate all of the different brachas in the tefillah, if you listen to all of the brachas of the Olam, so in general, except for when it falls on a Shabbos, in Yom Kippur morning, there are 6 regular aliyahs plus the maftir. So there's 7 aliyahs, that's 14 brachas, plus the bracha on the haftara, which is 1 bracha beforehand and 4 afterwards. Right? So that's another 5. So that's 19 brachas in the morning. And then by mincha, there are 3 aliyahs, so that's 6 brachas. And then the maftar has 1 bracha beforehand and 3 brachas afterwards. So that's 10 brachas. So between the morning and the afternoon, you added many brachas. You're still short. He says 3. Even with adding all of that by listening and saying Amen and counting it as if you said actually the bracha, you're still short 3 brachas. So he says you should go to the bathroom, say a bracha on the besomim, etc. But you see this idea that when you answer Amen, it's a higher level of as if you're saying the bracha than just listening. Yeah. So the halacha is so you should listen to the Amen. We consider Amen as really an extension of the bracha. So you said the bracha, he said Amen. It's like he's extending your bracha. Well, if you can take part in that as well, you should also. So you already said your own bracha. So you said a bracha. That's a beautiful mitzvah. Tremendous karan shemayim. They answer Amen. Ooh, it's even more chashuv mitzvah. So, and then you listen to the Amen. You also get that ma'ilu. You should listen. You should be here to the Amen. Okay. Eat and revach. Between the word lechem and min, you should pause. Hanash yafsek ma'at. You don't want to lose one of your mems. So if you pause, it's in the two words, it'll be distinct. This halacha is not limited to dafka to amotzi lechem min ha'oritz, but any other bracha where you have 2 letters which are back to back, which are sharing they're the same letter for two different words, etc. You want to be careful to make sure you enunciate each one independently. Gimel. You only make the bracha of mitzvah lechem and oritz while you're holding the bread. You shouldn't say it beforehand. So you don't make brachas on mitzvahs, and therefore you don't make brachas on achila unless you're ready to eat or to do the mitzvah. Because we learn our mitzvahs as the lach of over lasiyas, it should be prior to the doing. Because al darshan over lasiyas and v'loy over da'over. Before you're doing, but not before you're doing. That we don't want. But you have it in berach aracha not lo b'yalu gam ken in tzarech lach shal avorech k'kamam tzim reish vav s'dalad ayin shem shabur. So but you have it if you made the bracha then you held got the item afterwards. It's not a hefsek, but yeah, but to give you a mar malkum to Reish Vav, Siftalad, if I call correctly, there the issue was that you made a bracha on one item and then it fell out of your hand. So you go get another one. If you were planning to eat multiple apples, that was your plan, and you're holding apple A in your hand, you make the bracha, then apple A falls out of your hand and rolls off. So since you had planned to eat the other apples, your bracha went on the other apples as well. And therefore, you can now take another apple and eat it without making a bracha. If you had no intention at all to eat any other apples, your bedafka not and eat other apples, she only made a bracha on this apple. This apple rolled away. Your bracha is finished. You'd have to make a new bracha on a different apple. But in this, you see from that halacha, in a case where you had kavana, even though there was a time lapse because the apple fell out of your hand, you went and got another one and you ate it, it works. So that would apply over here as well. Okay. Dalit. You should have both hands on the bread at the time of the bracha. There are 10 fingers in your hands, and there are 10 letters in the bracha. Sheesh ben eser v'tzbos. Connected eser mitzvah atliyus b'pas. And in conjunction with that, there are 10 mitzvahs which we do in the process of making the bread. The Mishabura makes a list of them, but there's certain aveiras we're careful not to. To plant it improperly, not to plow it improperly, then there's when you're harvesting. So there's mitzvahs of lecha shikun peya truma etc. There's all those mitzvahs. So that adds up to 10. Shabro will make the calculation. Okay, yes, esoteves with brichas of moitzi, and that's why there are 10 words in a moitzi to correspond to the 10 mitzvahs. So esoteves with pasuk matzmiach vatzila behima. There's 10 words in that pasuk. Esther Tevis v'pasuk ene kol alecha yisaberu. Esther Tevis v'pasuk erskitu sera. Esther Tevis v'pasuk v'itin lecha. So all these represent different elements of the food or of bracha, and there are 10. So you understand why you have to put all 10 fingers onto the bread. Yidin shtei yadus at the mishum bracha of gimel. Hanu tevel asus kenes tam ha'akev, but it would be proper to do so. Imulavush v'ati yadayim. Lachem shesirim b'shas ha'bracha. If you're wearing gloves, it would be an insult to the bracha. I don't want to touch the food. You know, I'm making a bracha on this thing. I'm sure I'm saying like it's somewhat uncomfortable to me. That's an insult to the bracha. So you should remove your gloves beforehand. Because of Kodesh, Kshem Hashem Yagbia Kikur, Veshabbos Hamorcha Malish Ashtayim Yagbia Shtehem. You say bracha to Hashem, you lift up the loaf.
What's the insult?
Wearing gloves.
Wearing gloves. Yeah. Not holding onto the bread.
It's almost like it's mius. Like it's. You're saying by wearing gloves, you're saying it's disgusting. I don't even want to touch it. Is that the idea?
Correct. Okay. Now.
Good.
Fine. So there are 10 mitzvahs of tliyus b'pas. So Mishnah Berurah says, "Kiyasa mitzvahs adam oisa ayirei actual yechol pras pruchas b'pas." There's going to be 10 mitzvahs you're going to be careful with by the time you get to eat your slice of bread. What are they? When you're plowing the field, you have to be careful not to plow it with two different animals, two species of animals. When you plant the field, you cannot plant it with multiple species. When you're threshing the cut grain to remove to detach the kernels from their stalks, usually they would do that by having an animal trample. So you cannot muzzle him while he's doing that. Then we have losachrish, loisizra, and losachsam. That's three. Then you have the mitzvah lekach shichlupeya. You have to, if you have bundles ready made and you forget, you do not take one of the larger bundles, so you can. I'm sorry, if some of the stalks fell while you're harvesting, that's lekach. Shichlupeya is if you forgot to take with you some of the bundles. Upeya, you have to leave a section of the field for the neim. That's three.
If you forgot what some of the bundles?
Shikha is if you forgot some of the bundles. Or you forgot to cut the field, but either way. Then you
forgot to cut the field?
If a person was cutting his field this direction, let's say. They said, you know what, I'm going to cut the rest like this. And meanwhile, there's one section over here he didn't cut yet, so he can't go back and cut that. That's called Shikha's Kama. It's still standing. Hasn't been detached. It's also called shechu. Then truma ma'aser rishon v'sheni v'chala. Then we have the hafrashas truma, hafrashas ma'aser rishon, hafrashas ma'aser sheni, and chala. So that's 10. Okay. Sif hey lo yivsa. No, let's not insult it here. Okay.